you're a person of color, do you feel you can't be yourself in the white-dominated corporate world? Or maybe you worry you were just hired because of your color? It's a tender topic. Our next guest says at one time he wouldn't say the word juncture because it so revealed his native Colombia accent. But now Juan Fernando Lopera is pretty secure at work. He's vice president and diversity officer at Massachusetts' second largest health insurer, Tufts Health Plan. But he says it wasn't until he was able to embrace his Latino language and culture, see it as an asset, that he achieved his greatest success. He joins us from Colombia, where he's now visiting family. Juan Fernando, welcome.
Robin, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
So you spoke about this for the business pages of the Boston Globe, and you start by talking about Deloitte, where you first worked. And you were told that there was just one way to move up, and that was to get your MBA. And you immediately thought, that means standardized testing, and you thought what?
It was a concern I had, given that I had scored pretty poorly in the SATs as I was making my way into college. So I was really afraid of the GMAT.
Well, and a lot of schools are dropping the SAT requirement because of what you point out. As an immigrant from Colombia, you had no idea what the American literature references were in the SATs. I mean, there's bias in some of this testing, and you knew you wouldn't do well. So here you are trying to figure out, so how do I navigate this? Meanwhile, you go to Tufts, the huge insurer. Along the way, how are you viewing yourself as an Hispanic man in what was at this time a very white-collar corporate world?
Yeah, I think in corporate America in general, people of color really struggle with this balancing act of being able to fit in. So a good amount of my early career, I spent thinking about how to sound, thinking about many times even how not to even speak up, just because I was afraid I would say something that, because of my Spanish accent, would not sound right, would not be pronounced in the right corporate terms. And it took me time to be comfortable with myself and, you know, using my middle name as part of, just saying, this is how I grew up, you know, in mm-hmm. Latin America, you use your middle name, especially when you have a very common name like Juan. So Juan Fernando, something that I avoided because I didn't want to make it uncomfortable for the sort of majority white dominant corporate culture.
Yeah. But then an interesting thing happens. You go to the COO of Tufts, who's no fool, and you make the pitch to him that the company was leaving out a huge swath of the Hispanic community. Make that pitch now.
The pitch I made was quite simple. I said, let's look at our own customer data. Let's see how diverse our customers are from a racial and ethnic standpoint and see if we're keeping up with that demographic shift. And sure enough, after doing the business case, we saw that we were missing out on what I estimated to be about 250,000 members. That was about $2.2 billion in revenue. And on top of that, knowing that health disparities exist within Black, Latino, as we've seen, obviously, with COVID's impact, disproportionate impact, then you have a business case, a very compelling business case.
Well, you also pointed out that Blacks and Hispanics have higher rates of diabetes, high cholesterol, and health coverage could bring those rates down. But you were afraid colleagues would say that those problems are a reason not to carry these people. So you countered that with Hispanics would bring in a coveted younger client.
Indeed, that was the other side of the coin on diversity of our customer base. On average, minority populations tend to be younger. On average, you are looking at a healthier profile of members. And I think the case for diversity and equity and inclusion is very clear now as a moral imperative, but I think it's even stronger and it gives more longevity to the work if you're able to also connect it to the bottom line and to what any organization does as a business.
Yeah. So this is fascinating, Juan, because you then write that it wasn't until this moment when you leveraged what you knew about the Hispanic Latino community that you really ascended up that career path. If you hadn't done this, if you'd kept kind of hiding what you knew, hiding who you really were, you don't think that would have happened.
Yeah, I was at a juncture in my career when I started making the case for different career paths for myself and brought those forward. One of those paths was the path around what we ended up calling the business diversity officer. But it did take being very creative, but also leveraging my multiculturalism, multilingualism as an asset for the organization, making that case and making it very clear for others to be able to understand it, first of all, because there's that lack of understanding of what diversity means to an organization, and then being able to fit it in within the culture of that organization so that it it all made business sense to create this function.
A couple $1 billion in revenue has a way of focusing the mind, I think. And that brings us to, what would you say to young people? And I recently had this conversation, which is why I found this so interesting, with a young person who had been hired for something. And he said, I'm going to ask them if they just hired me because I'm black. And I said, I think they did. And that's because it's an asset. And that's because you have a point of view that corporations, it looks like they're scrambling for that point of view. I reminded him in previous jobs, he'd been rewarded for that. You said when you went to college, you felt like somebody was just checking off a box to give you a scholarship. And there was criticism that people of color were being hired, but not trained and not listened to. And it didn't change any of the internal workings. Do you think there's a change right now?
I definitely think so. I think what the events of last year, with the continued focus on racial justice, especially in healthcare, the recognition of the inequities in health, as we're seeing the disproportionate impact on people of color from the pandemic, the sea change to me is no longer just about parity or equity in terms of who we hire. In some ways, people of color should be considered at a premium, quite frankly, for organizations. And I think there is a bit of a sea change now that organizations are recognizing that. And not just simply to check the box, really, because I think it is critically important to have lived experience when informing strategies for an organization as to where to invest, looking at the demographics as different customer segments that you can tap into as an asset rather than a deficit. So my advice would be, if you're hiring, you feel that you got hired because of the color of your skin, good, take advantage of it and show the great value and asset that you are to the organization.
Bring the knowledge with you that they will then use as you did. What does it feel like to have made that shift, you know, of being in your own skin?
It's liberating. And I also feel a sense of responsibility to be the voice for many others and to show the way for others. It does not have to be at a vice president or director level. It can happen at entry-level positions. You just have to find the right organization that's willing to invest in you, not just because of the color of your skin, but because of the skills you bring.
Juan Fernando Lopera, Vice President at Tufts Health Plan. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin. This has been great.